but and then too also crossing it. I'm going to have small children crossing to go to school or anything, but I imagine it would be difficult. I know for me, I have to take walks on that north side because it's really kind of a pretty path once you get to the end of it. It goes down a hill by a little creek and up another hill and it stops. So I said, why do you never finish that and loop around? I don't know yet, but we'll work on that next time. Right? And then, but yeah, it's a pretty little walk, I think. But even like an older lady like me trying to get across that road, gee, you think you've got time and you have to kind of make a faster pace than I normally walk to get across. So it is. It needs you to slow down or something. I know Jason's done a great job of putting up the little signs that, you know, slow down or the walk in, and then you've got the nice cross signs, which is crosswalk sign, which is helpful too. So maybe people will notice those. So I think it's what you have done, and whatever you decide on, would be great. Thank you.
Excellent. I'm sorry, did we catch a first and last name?
I forgot to tell my name. Irene Kaufman. Thank you. You better be.
Thank you, Irene.
Thank you.
Anybody else want comments? No. Comments. Excellent. So looking at the minutes for approval or correction, May 18th, 2021. I would have one correction to make, and Ken, I'm going to see if I can confirm. It was listed that our citizen attendee last time was Matt McEwen, but I believe it was Ken. Is that correct?
Yes, Ken. Yeah. Okay. And he's in when they're ready.
That is the only thing that I saw. Anybody else?
Not really.
Are we good with the minutes? Jason,
I am.
Anything?
Yes. Yes. I'm ready for Brad.
Perfect. Excellent. On to new business. Do we want to, actually, are there any requests to change the agenda around?
We can move that up.
Okay.
You want to do that first?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Irene can take off if she wants.
That sounds okay, Irene?
I'm good.
All right. Excellent.
Oh, here's the floor chair.
Okay. Well, matters. It is.
All right. So we'll go ahead and do Kennedy Road Emerald Lane Traffic Control Discussion. This is PW 2021-45.
All right, so at the request of Alderman and staff, we went ahead and looked at several things as it relates to the Kennedy Road and Emerald issue. So we took a look at it from three different distinct areas, because they're all separate and all deserved separate review and consideration. So there's three separate memos within the packet concerning the situation. So one of them is a specific analysis of the crossing itself. The other, it was tossed out, potentially a four-way stop at that intersection, so we reviewed that. And then the third was an update as to the speed analysis. There was a speed analysis performed in November. We just gathered some additional information and prepared that memo. So the first one in the packet, we'll just start with that. That's specific to the crossing itself. So, you know, this is kind of we haven't done a lot of these, but this is kind of a format that we use at the Main Street crossing on Route 47. So we just follow that format in this particular situation as well. So we did go out and we grabbed actual data. So we have collection equipment that captures speed, and also traffic counts. We also physically had an individual out there capturing peak hour information, which is also something that's used in the analysis, not only from a traffic perspective, but also from a pedestrian perspective as well. So we took that information on Thursday while school was still in session, and then put that into our analysis. So, just some base observations. Certainly, the speed limit along Kennedy Road is 45 miles an hour. I'll get into that a little bit deeper, but that still proves to be an appropriate speed. The signage is appropriate, that's currently there now, based on the MUTCD standards. So, those are appropriate. The data that was collected during those peak periods, far as pedestrians go during the morning, there's only two during that hour period. Then there were seven during the afternoon peak period. However, the traffic during that time on Kenji, was fairly substantial during that peak hour. So when you're looking at a crossing, essentially you're looking at the gaps that are available to be able to walk across, in between cars and what have you. So according to, and there's, of course, there's standards associated with all of this, and that's what things are evaluated against, national standards. So, if we were just looking at a typical adult crossing, there would be enough gap time at the crossing. However, when you factor in the school and younger children, school-age children, they recommend a slower time to cross. So there is, in fact, an issue with the gap during those peak periods to cross if you're considering elementary students. Other elements that we look at, sight distance, street lighting, all those things, all those elements seem appropriate and not out of line and not a concern. This does not have a median or a pedestrian refuge in the middle. So there is some guidance that would suggest that maybe this crossing should even be there in the first place. It's kind of right on the threshold based on some of the guidelines when it does exist. And then based on some of the gap information, so what can we do to enhance the safety or suggest some possible items that the City Council could consider? One of them is putting in a traffic signal. Well, it clearly doesn't meet any warrants for a traffic signal, so that would not be appropriate. There's other elements called pedestrian hybrid beacons, basically which are the long poles that go across the roadway, which the flashing lights. Doesn't meet any of those guidelines as far as traffic goes. The volumes are too light for that. So, really the element that perhaps the City Council could consider is increasing the sign and pavement marking elements out there, making it more obvious, more conspicuous. So there are some additional markings that could be placed. There's some examples shown that were taken right out of the manual. There's also could be a variety of different elements added as far as flashing LEDs around the current signs, and/or you could go with a rectangular rapid flashing beacon, such as what is down on Main Street and Route 47. That's a good example of that. So certainly those elements could be incorporated into a proposed, improvement to the crosswalk. So we did include some rough cost estimates in there. We did get an updated cost with the assistance of Eric and his team. So we're looking at probably about $20,000 to $25,000 for installation of that type of a crosswalk. So the rapid flashing beacon along with some enhanced striping in that area.
So that is the recommendation. We would ask for City Council motion to approve at a future meeting just in case it goes above $25,000. It isn't budgeted. If everybody accepts the recommendation, I'll work with Rob to see if we need a budget for that, or whether we can just approve it. And so that's what the staff recommendation says.
So how does this fit to where the school, like how close is it to the school itself?
See if I can pull it up here.
So yeah, if you can go, there's a map I think in the packet too.
I was looking at kind of on the school in there. Is that down toward the bottom?
Yeah, right in the middle of the bottom, you can see a big gray rectangle, that's the parking lot of the school.
Yeah.
So that's the only way to cross over to that north side of Kennedy where the north side of Honor Creek is.
So there's two entrances, which entrance seem to have more traffic. You're more familiar with that area than I am.
The one that's circled, that's in question, is the one that the majority of the homes are coming from, people going to school. I'm sure there's some school children that go on the Autumn Creek when you go north over Kennedy. There's not currently a crosswalk there. There is currently a crosswalk at Kennedy and Autumn Creek, or at Emerald. So that's the one that's in question. And I've observed several times where, even myself, I pulled up with my children on bicycles, And I'm trying to cross over to the north side because we just put a park there last year. So I go to cross over, and I'm having my kids sit back, you know, on the sidewalk. I'm creeping out of my bike. People are not looking. They're not stopping. They're on their phones, what have you. So I creep out further. I'm in the middle of the intersection, almost to the yellow middle line, and I have to go like this just to get people to stop. And that's pretty eye-opening. That's me. So obviously, I don't even allow my children to cross over there by themselves because it's pretty dangerous. And you've got people that are trying to cross over to the south side to get their kids to school. So you've got kids that are trying to do it without parents, and it's pretty dangerous. So if they're not looking at me, then they're not going to see somebody that's half my size. So that's why I think, and I would fully support putting up anything that would enhance the safety measures in this area. And based on feedback from people that are here and people in the neighborhood that have brought it up, absolutely. I mean, since we put up the big digital signs on Kennedy, that does make a difference, but those are temporary signs, right? Those are little trailers. Those do help. They do make a difference. I've probably observed 1 out of 5 times when people come up that somebody actually stopped, which I'm shocked, and I almost congratulated them. But other than that, it's still, I have people as of what, last week maybe, that said that they were trying to cross with their family and still people were not allowing to cross. So it's still an issue. And again, at peak times when kids are going to school and coming back from school. Question for Brad. Did the counters I know were on Emerald on both sides of Kennedy, were they on Kennedy at all? Or did any of the monitoring, did that actually pull up any counting of who's on Kennedy?
Yeah, so we have 2 different types of monitors.
Okay.
One is tubeless. So it's radar, so you're not going to see them.
Okay.
And then we also have the tubes. So we use them to pick up different pieces of data.
Perfect.
Yep.
Do you have any idea what the volume on Kennedy is at any given day?
Or yeah, it's roughly 4,500 cars a day.
Okay. Perfect.
And the RFRFBs are asking part about this. They're dual sided, so you can flash from either side.
Yes, correct.
And then it's initiated by someone who wants to cross, hitting a button very similar to a standard crosswalk.
Correct.
Yes. All right.
And then you're going to. Oh, sorry.
How long does that tend to flash for to stay engaged?
Oh, I think you can set them. So we'd want to set them long enough so there'd be enough time to walk across. So based on the gap, school children, so there would be time for.
Okay, so 27 seconds is what that's.
Yeah, probably minimum.
Okay.
That, yes.
I would, if you really want to sort of like the one he's mentioning on Main Street, that's
use it.
Huh?
Yeah. Don't use it, you'll get hit.
I know, but I'm just saying to see, to get an idea, that's 4 lanes and
yeah.
You got people turning and everything else there, so it's really kind of bad there. But maybe on Kennedy that works better.
Yeah. Can I go to
2 lanes?
Kennedy?
Yeah. Now, there's one right outside my office, too, on Bliss Road, as you're heading north toward Batavia. So there is a. King County Forest Reserve.
All right.
And there's the Berkeley-Gilman Trail connection. In fact, I just used it on Saturday. So, and people did stop.
Yeah,
I definitely
looked.
But you know, you still have to be careful. There's still cars that will drive through, but it certainly does increase the visibility immensely from what occurred.
Jason, you had a question too?
You said enhanced striping, what would that entail? I didn't see
So the potential additional striping would be just additional, before the crosswalk, there's additional paint marks that could be added in the white, several hundred feet in front of the crossing, triangles basically is what I've seen, and then there's kind of a additional signage that could go up, that figure 3B-17 on page 57. That would be a potential signage that could be added.
Oh, gotcha.
So basically, it's yield to pedestrians, just an additional advanced warning sign.
Okay. And then what is time frame? Because obviously, we can probably try to fast track this, get this on City Council for next Tuesday. What's the lead time and time frame for these? Because everything in the world right now is on back order.
Yeah. That I don't know. I could. We did get an actual quote from a supplier. We could ask that question
okay. And
get that answer to you.
Okay.
Some of them that we bought in the past, like out here, want to say they were relatively quick, like 2-4 weeks, but I think the ones on the East Main were a little bit longer.
Okay.
So, and, but that was years ago.
I just would like to fast track it so we can utilize it.
Yes.
Summer month.
Once in the room, we'll do whatever we can.
Okay.
This.
Perfect. Thank you.
Plus, school's going to be back in session in 2 months,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all for that too. I guess another question I got about this, because at the front of that, if you know Batamy Road entrance from the laboratory, there's an elementary school right over there. Now, they don't have the stop signs on Batamy Road, but those are school zones. And you'd be surprised how many people, they think they're going to get a ticket for busing through a school zone. Why isn't one of these, at least the one that's pretty close to the school, how come that never got made a school crossing zone? That's 20 mile an hour where you got to slow down for that.
Yeah, you're not, I would say you're not that close to the school. That's not.
That's pretty close, if you ask me. That's not a school zone.
Well, there's no pedestrian crossing there, for one. You're still a decent away. You know, you're not adjacent to the school, you're not attached to the school. I think those are some of the criteria.
Do you know what I'm talking about on Batamy Road?
I'm sure I've been by there, but I'm trying to.
The school is way down, mm-hmm. almost where 59 is the summer lake there. Mm-hmm. So it's a tide bike all the time, that's how I know.
Sure.
And they actually got a school crossing there. The two streets there where the kids use. That's why I was wondering how this. I don't know if they get a school issue. Who decides that?
From what I know, I don't think it warrants a school zone there, but that's something we can look into.
I think it's a little bit too far away.
Yeah,
that's a great question, because that would be awesome, but I think it's a little bit too far away. It doesn't look like it's that far on the map, but...
It's 2 blocks, right?
Well, you got to go 2 blocks to one, but there's no crosswalk to that one. So if you're looking at that gray rectangle on the bottom middle of that map, which is on page 62, if you go kind of north, you follow that, which is on Creek Boulevard, north, that's 2 blocks. But then you have to go northeast, probably another like 6 to 8 blocks, to that yellow circle, which is kind of
right.
Narrow.
Yeah.
So that's the challenge. It's a little bit too far out of the way, I think.
Okay. I'm all for whatever we can do to make it safe. So, being that that's an element.
Joe, do you have anything to add or any questions?
No, I was just saying, and once at 47, I know we talked about Fulham, but then it kind of, was pre-COVID, is that what happened to it? No, it was being discussed and then
kind of. Yeah, all the solutions are of similar quality to the lights. There's
right.
No guarantee that they're going to work.
Right.
In some scenarios, they might actually hurt.
Right.
You know, they give people a false sense of safety. And so I think the next step beyond the East Main crosswalk was hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
I don't think anybody was prepared to spend that.
So can we put it back up there to Cole? Because I know we were looking at some things and then nothing ever happened, but before that was just a Cole.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can add anything to an agenda they'd like if you want to talk
can
about
can we
that,
add that?
And, yes.
Because there you have it, and you were here before, I think, we was talking about. Because you have two lanes and two lanes, and you're having people stop at ceiling and stop at one lane,
then they'll go around.
People will start going well, that, or they'll be coming up the other part, and then the second lane in,
yep.
Will stop. So the pedestrian thinks, oh, he stopped, I can go.
Right.
We almost had an issue there.
Seven.
So, this is a little different because it's not four lanes and a turning lane. So.
And it's not on a hill.
Right. And over a bridge.
Right, over a bridge. The only way through town.
Yeah. It is kind of a challenge when you're coming from either side to see the painted lines on the pavement. So I think if we can enhance that somehow, you hate to say that, but people just are not paying attention. That's the bottom line. They're preoccupied, they're on their phones or what have you. Yeah.
45 feels a little fast there. I mean, I drive that route. 45, it feels like you're pushing a little bit for the width of the road and the residential on the one side. It just feels that way to me.
Do you want us to comment? then the other elements, jump right into the other two elements of the study that we looked at?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, part of the speed study.
Yeah. So, real quick, on the four-way stop, that had been brought up by somebody, I recall, and so we went in and looked at that, but it clearly does not meet the criteria for a four-way stop. You know, Kennedy, 4,500 cars a day, and Emerald, significantly less than that. So of all the criteria you evaluate, it doesn't meet any of those or come close to meeting those. And so certainly our recommendation is to not make it a four-way stop. The speed analysis was also performed, and again, the data was collected, taking the speed numbers. This was in addition, so this memo is kind of an addition or supplement to what we did last November. So some of the equipment that Public Works had out there collected thousands and thousands of cars, and we had our equipment out there for a week. So basically, the summary didn't really change between what happened last fall and what we gathered in the spring. So the speed data was collected, it was noted in the memo. But basically the 40th or the 85th percentile speed, which is what you use, that's the national standard, is 48 miles an hour. So that's what the 85% of the motoring public is comfortable traveling at. So based on that, the 45 mile an hour speed still appears to be correct and appropriate in that area. So again, that's the criteria that's used nationwide. That's the guidance that's provided. So it seems like it's holding from what it was the last time.
Just to clarify to you, there's like state guidelines and national guidelines for like four-way stops and everything. We can't just put them up otherwise. So what he did was go through all the studies to do that. So the guidelines still say this to stay.
Sure, I understand the statistics. Yeah. So I'm a retired CDL and I
okay.
So yeah, you know, work and that roads just feels that way.
Right.
And that feelings don't mean anything when you're using data.
And I imagine since they paved it. People tend to drive by that. But before it used to be bumpy and
you can't, yeah, put feet go in. You can't reduce the speed just by coming to a school crossing. My problem is you get your data on the people that the crossing. The parents are not allowing their children to walk to school and cross Kennedy. So your numbers are invalid as far as the number of students that have to go to school from that side. And they're driving them or they're not allowing them to walk. So.
Yeah, no, that's certainly potentially true. We can only count the three kids that were there. So that's it was post-COVID.
You
I mean, it was in May.
That's
a great point because there's a lot of parents that don't want their children to go because it's too dangerous. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
And was that gathered when the school was not in session because of COVID?
No, they were in session.
So it was in May.
Were they not attending in person?
They're full-time in May.
Yeah, their school is full-time this year.
Yeah, they have a full year.
Saying that they didn't allow them to walk because it is a dangerous crossing.
Sure, that's potential. Absolutely.
Jason, is it within? So if you're on that side of the street, is there bus service? Do you get on the bus over there and come to school?
Or no, I'm on the south side.
Okay. How about the north side of that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I just wonder if the bus goes to the
neighborhood.
It has to go to the middle school. I'm not sure about going to Autumn Creek.
No, I think the grade schools are not. If you're within a mile and a half.
Is that what it is?
That's what I thought.
Okay.
So even if it's dangerous for us, it has to be a highway,
That would make sense. That would make sense.
Any other questions? Well, I'm good with the recommendation to the City Council. We'll leave it on the Public Works portion because it sounds like we're having a good discussion. We anticipate a lot of it on next Tuesday as well. So, let's go.
go ahead and move back to new business item one, PW 2021-44, well rehabilitation and media replacement plan for fiscal year 2022.
All right, so there is a memo in the packet providing some information and a proposed change. So when we had prepared the capital improvement plan for the coming fiscal year, we had planned to do the well number 7 rehab, as well as replace the media within the number 4 water treatment plant. So those dollar values are listed there. Then about a month or so ago, 6 weeks or so, Public Works noticed a decline in the water level above well number 4 to a point where it needs a shift in our thinking as far as well rehabs go. So as sometimes wells do, they dictate to us, you know, what needs to be done. So we're recommending a change in our thinking. Well number 4 needs to be addressed rather immediately as far as rehabilitating the well and dropping the pump and motor to a lower level so we can continue to pump water. So our first recommendation is to make that change and move forward as quickly as possible. Then the other discussion evolves around a couple of what-ifs. So number 4 water treatment plant is showing signs of the media failure. They're getting close to exceeding the radium standard. There were some operational changes that were made by John Bauer in the consultation with staff in my office, so hopefully things will improve. So if the radium numbers come back acceptable and things look like they're working, Eric and John would still like to move ahead with well number 7 rehab as well. So move forward with number 4, absolutely. If things come back good on the water treatment plant, then hold that off until next year, and then move ahead with well number 7 rehab later in the year. If the media comes back poorly, the results come back poorly, then John would want to move ahead and Eric move ahead with the media replacement. So still trying to work within the existing budgets that have been established, just kind of shifting projects around, if you will. So still only doing 2 of the 3 projects. The 3rd project would get kicked to the next fiscal year. So that is what has been discussed, you know, at staff level with the Public Works folks. So that's the recommendation, is to move ahead with number 4 and then possibly the media replacement or the wall number 7 rehab. I'd be happy to address any questions that may surround that.
So with the, just for my knowledge, anybody else is, I guess, basically the question. In well number 4 rehab, one thing, the media, if we have to do the media replacement, do you do a failure? That's 2 entirely separate components, or can it be done?
Yeah, 2 totally separate projects. So the media replacement basically, so that is basically serves as a gigantic water softener that removes the radium from the water. So Yorkville deep aquifer water naturally has radium occurring in it. So the cation exchange units, basically big water softeners, remove that radium below the limit. And the media that's in there that helps collect the radium, you know, it has a shelf life, 15, 20 years, and we're at the end of that lifespan and, you know, need to do that work. But totally 2 separate projects, we 2 separate contractors that do it. Okay.
The media is right over here, right?
Yeah, we were just there a month or so ago. Yeah. So yeah, those big tanks, that's exactly where the media is at. Yes. And then the well itself, that would actually be physically be pulled. You know, it's about 1,200 feet below the earth. So that pump and motor would be physically pulled out, inspected, you know, modified, and then lowered back to
production. You're replacing the tanks, right?
No, well, we're looking at the painting. So we had an issue
okay,
with
the... Okay, so they're big tanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we had that issue with last year and a half or so ago. So yeah. That is factored, or will be factored into our bidding that will allow for me to go.
Yeah, I'm doing actually one of those in Woodstock right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like if you put the tank in front of us, then you're not going to see the infrared.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, these ones are underground.
Interesting. Yeah.
So if you have to, you know, lower the well, so don't do if you have to, for the well, the motor work?
Yes. That was told that a new motor would be required unless, for some reason, there's significant damage to it. So, you know, there's always the chance that you pull it out and inspect it, that, you know, something's wrong with it. But we're not anticipating that right now based on what we're doing. You know, sometimes there's signs, you know, there's electrical, you know, issues going on at the top that you can, you know, put equipment on and take readings. That's not the case at the moment. The situation is just there's a minimal amount of water over the top of the well, and that's problematic.
Anything, Jason?
I'm okay.
Good. Excellent. So it looks like we'll be recommending putting this on the city council agenda. Both items are just captured as one for the well replacement, well rehab number 4, and then the either or for the bid package, right?
Yeah, the motion will probably be drafted to authorize a sole source bid for the well lowering for well 4, and then authorizing the directive staff to go to RFP the other two projects to then figure out, you know, which one we're going to choose.
Any issues with that?
No.
Alright. Want to try and tweak that one back to the agenda? Put it on the standard public place. Excellent. Looks like we got one more thing to capture unless there's any additional business. And this is old business, PW 2021-33, sidewalk locations.
Yeah, so this is the Autumn Creek section that we pulled out of the sidewalk project. So we've got 4 different options for substitute sidewalks, ranging from city-installed limestone aggregate at $340 total, all the way up to a whopping $8,100 if we were to hire somebody out to actually put in a large path on the property. At this point, I guess I would just recommend to install the limestone aggregate. It's usually good for a few years at least, depending on weather. It can be done with minimal cost, and it still achieves, obviously, the assistance of getting kids off the street. So. And then that leaves us plenty of money to, you know, continue the sidewalks elsewhere in the subdivision if we choose to.
Are we just doing that one little piece? Around the corner?
We haven't talked about expanding it yet. I can imagine, given the cost, we probably will. You know, we'll probably buy a full amount of aggregate and spend a couple days doing it. I haven't talked to Eric about it. He's on vacation. I haven't talked to John about it yet either. So we'll see what he says.
Since it's pretty reasonable that if you're going to go limestone, then mine's the whole 400, right?
Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me.
Make some connections.
Yep.
Everybody's okay with that? It's a general
direction.
Yeah.
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 Definitely an improvement from where it's at now.
Yes.
I think it was a good discussion. I think Ken kind of said that and do something different last month, so I think it's kind of a good happy medium. Everybody, especially at that cost, and I didn't have part of the job. So,
excellent.
Any additional business? All right. And I guess we'll go ahead and if everybody's in agreement, close the meeting at 6:35.
Aye. See ya.
State has cited the